Psalms 1-6. And Jesus never fails. And we've had a great lesson in that this week with Brother Barnum's missing in Ann Arbor area. And what a week. What a couple of days of prayer and searching. Many folks got involved and looked. And that was a blessing, the blessing of watching people work together and people take the lead and just go out and do something that we all knew was the right thing. And a lot of folks praying, a lot of folks all over the world praying for Brother Barnum. That was a blessing to hear that. I was in somewhere up there in Ann Arbor in some little park area. I crossed over a long bridge that went across a river, and it was headed into some wilderness kind of an area, and I thought kind of reminded me of Trestle Park in that area, and I was walking through there, and I realized just how big of an area and how impossible the situation was. But it was so precious on that bridge as I looked out at the water and looked at the water's edge and looked all along and tried to just see if I could see Brother Barnum. I thought, and God reminded me, I think, that God knew exactly where he was the whole time. And really, he's better to be under the watchful eye of God than he is any of us. And you know, we were trying. I guarantee people were going up and down roads, looking on country roads, looking every direction. And it just was an impossible situation. But that's where God is able, and he never fails. He does the impossible. And really, what took place was an impossible scenario other than God making it happen. Some would say that, boy, he was sure lucky. But we know better than that. We all know better than that. And praise the Lord and thank you so much. I know so many were involved, so many people called, and many got together and went out and looked. And somebody said, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. I said, no, it's like trying to find a moving needle in a haystack. But God knows, and God knew, and again, you know, what an amazing thing that took place. And I thought of that as I was thinking of the message. And Psalm 126 is a powerful passage of Scripture. We usually only look at verses 5 and 6, and it's too bad. We look at verse 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We use those for soul winning and to try to encourage people about soul winning and how to go and everything. But really, we should use the whole passage. We should use all of Psalm 126. It starts off, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And then the familiar verses, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Father, bless now, please, as we look at your word. Challenge us. And Lord, I pray that we will see you turning captivity. Captivity of those that are lost, those that are on their way to hell. As I preached this morning, they're headed for a devil's burning, fiery place of torment called hell. I pray that you'll turn captivity of those lost souls. And I pray, Lord, that you'll turn the captivity of some who are backslidden away from you. And their lives are miserable because they're away from God. And Lord, I pray you'll turn their captivity as well and use us to have a part in turning captivity. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And that is the title of the message tonight, Turning Captivity. The text here ties in with this morning's message, which was simply two words, in hell. And it's really what the church is all about. It's why we're here. We're here to help turn somebody's captivity. We can be a part. We can be used. It's like everybody getting together on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and literally mounting up a group of people to accomplish something because we were concerned about someone. We were concerned about one of our own. And we were so concerned, we prayed. We woke up in the middle of the night, we prayed, we wept. We went out and we did all that we possibly could because this one was not home in their living room like they should be. They were not home in their bed at night like they should be. They weren't in their place in church like we wanted them to be. And certainly they were in captivity as a person who was lost. And we saw the need to do something about that. And this text is really, I think, what it's all about and why we're here. And it's about sowing. It's about watering. It's about reaping. It's about going out and reaching those that are lost and telling them how they can be saved. It's about going and finding those that are backslidden. I mean, certainly when you go out soul winning or you go out visiting or you give out gospel tracts, every now and then you're going to run across people that say, you know, I used to go to church. Oh, I used to be involved. And well, what happened? Well, you know, I just got away. And certainly they are now in captivity and their captivity needs to be turned as well. Turning captivity, setting captives free. That's really what we're here for. That's what those buses are for out there. That's what Berean Baptist Academy is all about. And that's why we have Berean Baptist Church. You know, with so many social and political issues, it's very easy to get off the track. It's easy to get away from really why we're here. And so I want to go through this passage of Scripture, and I think you'll see the parallel with what took place regarding Brother Varnum. And if you don't, well, I'll pray that you do eventually. Number one, we see the record. The record. And first it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. You know, when you got saved, it sure is an exciting thing, isn't it? I mean, when you got saved, it was an amazing thing. He goes on, he says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. I remember when I got saved, I'll be honest with you, I was thrilled. I didn't know what it all meant. I couldn't have spelled propitiation. I had no clue what it was to be justified. I just knew that a burden of guilt was lifted from me. And I was saved and I knew I was going to heaven. It says, laughter, our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. And certainly we would testify, God's done some great things for me. I know that. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I'll be honest, the record is really good as I look back upon my own salvation. But I can tell you this as well. The record's good in reference to getting right with God too. You know, everybody in the room here has been backslid at one time or another. And the record is really good with getting right with God. I mean, maybe you're here tonight and you're backslidden now. I can tell you this. The record is real good with getting right with God. It's good. It is good. It is the prodigal coming home. I mean, it's every bit as exciting as that father was when he saw his son coming. It's every bit as exciting as that son was when he saw his daddy waiting on him. I mean, it's every bit as good as that prodigal and the feast that took place afterwards and the celebration. I'm telling you, when you get right with God, it's a great thing. Because you're captive until God sets you free. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the record that I've observed in my years as being a Christian and the record that I've observed, my own salvation, my own times that I had to get right with God, my own times on an old-fashioned altar and weeping before God Almighty and saying, God, I'm sorry that I did that thing. You know, that record's a good record of something that makes us glad and makes us rejoice. And when the Lord turns the captivity of somebody, there's nothing better in all the world. We rejoiced on Friday when Brother Varnum was found. You talk about a group of folks excited. You talk about a group of young people in a school fired up and excited. We rejoice. Why? Well, because the lost has been found. But you know, the Bible says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. More rejoicing than you and I could even imagine. The angels. By the way, the angels know about hell. The angels know about heaven. They know that nobody ought to go to hell. Not when God sent his own son to die for them. Nobody ought to go to hell. And angels rejoice over one sinner. The record's good. The record for getting saved, that's a good record. The record for getting right with God. I don't know anybody that regrets getting right with God. I've been with many that prayed and asked God to forgive them. I've been with many who've testified after they got right with God. Wow, what a great thing. The burden, the guilt is gone. I've heard them testify. I've never had anybody say, you know, I never should have got saved. I've never heard anybody say, well, I just never should have got right with God. The record is a good record, as it is here in verses 1 to 3. There's rejoicing and excitement. The record is good. Number 2, we see the repetition, because verse 4 says this, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. The repetition. Do it again, God. Do it again. You know, as you did for me, do it for another 17-year-old young man. Do it for somebody else who didn't grow up in church and never heard, and let them realize salvation. Let them hear the gospel. Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again for that backslider out there that used to be in church and used to serve God, and maybe some pastor out here on one of our streets in our town used to be a pastor, used to serve God, and maybe you'll knock on that door and all of a sudden a little bit of light will start to shine in their life and the captivity will be turned by God Almighty. Folks, that's what's out there. That's who's out there. These are people out there that are captive. These are people out there that, because of whatever reason, doesn't really matter why, they're either lost, they're backslid, they're away from God, but they're captive to the devil and to his plan, and they're far, far away from God's plan. The repetition, God can do it again. God's not done. You say, how do you know? The rapture hadn't taken place. We're not all dead. He's not done. There are other lost people out there. There are people that are backslidden out there. There are many, many people who are captive. And God will turn their captivity. The toughest ones. Come on. You know, we were the tough ones. Some of you out there, you were the tough one. You were the one that, I mean, somebody came to your door and you said, get lost. I don't want to hear that stuff. Or you blankety blank, I don't want to talk to you. You were that tough one. You were the one when you were backslid. You didn't want to talk to Christians. You didn't want to hear it from the preacher. You were there. Come on. What about when you finally said, oh, God, I'm sorry. Amen. Oh, God, I want to be right with you. I want to live for you. The repetition. The psalmist says, turn again our captivity, O Lord. Let it be like the streams in the south. What's the south? That's the desert land. Let it be in their lives like a stream rushing forth in the midst of a desert where everything's dry and dusty, but that water is life. Let it be like that for that lost person. Let it be like that for somebody in another country. Let it be like that for someone out on the over in Hudson with our Hudson Soul Winning Ministry. And let it be, our Lenawee County Soul Winning Ministry that just happens to be in Hudson now. And let it be that person that is over there. And nobody has ever knocked on their door and told them about Jesus Christ. Let it be. Do it again, God. Do it again. Turn the captivity of that drug addict. Turn the captivity of that person who has committed crime. Turn the captivity, as we saw people saved today at Stryker, Ohio. Turn the captivity, God, of these people that are lost. Number one, the record. Number two, the repetition. But then we see number three, the request. And here's where, you know, everybody gets excited and says, oh, I'm for this. This is good and everything. But you'll notice the request, and that is, he that goeth forth. Going forth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that goeth forth. I mean, let's think through this a little bit. We're to go into the highways and hedges. Now, again, in the highways and hedges, you'll find lost people. We looked in the highways and hedges for one of our own. Amen. We're driving down. I was driving down Tipton Road, and every little dirt road, every little, I'm looking down, I'm looking this way, I'm looking that way, I'm looking, you know, every different way, right? We were all doing that. Everybody was. You were in areas you had no clue. I was north of Dexter, Michigan. Didn't even know there was north of Dexter, Michigan. In some park kind of area. And I'm looking all over the place. Looking up hills, down hills, over, under, all around. Why? Well, that's somebody we care about. Somebody we love. Yes. And it was the right thing. And it was a good thing. But the truth of the matter is we had to go forth, didn't we? Brother Derek Helinski, he had folks. Norm Helinski, they had folks here. Bobby Jordan, there were folks gathering here, and there were maps all laid out and everything, and there was a map of that area, and folks were. And Brother Hollins was calling me on the phone, and we're talking about where would be the best place, and what do you think? And we got to go here, and we got to go there, and we're mapping everything. But the truth of the matter is, we all had to go. Okay, we weren't gonna sit here and draw our map and say, okay, these are all the right places, probably where he is. What are you gonna do about it? Well, we've got it on the map. We see it, and we're enthused about it, and we really think this is the right thing. How are you gonna try to find him? Well, we're doing our very best, just kind of looking at our map. Now somebody had to go. Now, folks, honestly, that's what the church is supposed to do. We've got to go. We just have to go. They're not, okay, I'm a captive, help me. They don't just walk in like that all the time. They don't. They don't just come to us. Okay, bus captains. I mean, every now and then we'll get a phone call. Hey, I saw your bus. Will you pick my child up and bring him to church? Every now and then that happens, but typically that's not how it happens. It happens because a bus captain goes and knocks on the door. Hey, I see, you know, they see bicycles out in the yard, or they see little kids' toys in the yard, or they see chaos, and then they know there are kids there. And they that's where they go, and they knock on a door, and they say, hey, could your kids come to church? Well, you know, you don't know my kid. Doesn't matter. We want them to come, and they go get them. Go ye into all the world. There's captives everywhere. Everywhere. But for us to think they're going to come in here looking to be free, it'll happen every now and then. We have some testimonies like that, but it's not the way it usually happens. Usually, it's kind of like a fisherman. He can put his bait, he can put his worm on his hook and put a little bobber on there, and he can put it in a little puddle out here. We have some pretty good-sized puddles out here in the back of the parking lot when it rains. And he can go do that. And honestly, he can sit there and watch that bobber all day long. But he shouldn't expect to catch any fish because he's got to go where there are fish. I got a kick out of the duck pond over here on the Burr Park. And when they first dug all that out, and they did stock it with fish, it was so funny. I'd watch people, these guys with their big old boxes, you know, to put the fish in and everything. And I'm thinking, you don't need that. You don't need a big old box. You might need a little teeny box. Because everything was about like that. I mean, they were just a little fish. And every now and then, somebody'd catch something, you know, and they'd pull a, you know, and it goes, you know. I mean, the fish is slapped and killed on the ground because they pulled so hard, and it was about like that. It was just funny. But again, and they were having a good time. I'm just saying, if you want to catch a big fish, maybe that pond wouldn't have been the best place to go. You know, we hunting season is coming up, and I venture to think if you sit out here in the middle of the parking lot with your deer license, you probably won't get one. If you sit around the kitchen table with a map out and all the different places and where you're going to put a tree stand and all that, and you map it all out, and you sit there all fall, and you've got it all plotted out and figured out, and you sit there at the kitchen table, and you're probably not going to shoot anything. Yeah, you won't have any deer sausage or venison or steaks or any of that. All you'll have is, boy, we planned well. You see, the request is he that goeth forth. You have to go forth. There has to be that effort of going forth. It is a very basic lesson in accomplishing anything. You have to go do it. And you and I have got to go forth. That's what the church can do. That's what we need to do. By the way, we just did it for one of our own. Go. We're not called to build buildings. It's nice to have buildings. We're not called to have a social program, though it's nice to be able to socialize with people. We're not called, certainly, to be a political organization, though we need to have a voice. But we are called and requested to go forth. And in all areas of our ministry, we need to go forth. We need to find more shepherds. I'm always encouraged. Mike has talked about the shepherds. More and more are coming. And praise the Lord for that, because we have the truth for them. Do you understand that? We not only have a loving staff to care for the shepherd ministry, and I don't know if anybody loves shepherds more than our staff does. I really don't. There are others that love them, but I'm talking about as a group. Here's a group of folks that love the shepherds and that ministry, but we also have the truth and give them the truth. They hear the truth. And you know, where some may be in captivity, they can be free. Praise the Lord. And we have to go. And we have to go. And we have to go. You know, if a student leaves Berean Baptist Academy and they don't really care about those who are in captivity, then we failed. We failed. Oh, but they know English. We failed. Oh, but they're great at math. We failed. If there is not a concern in their heart to go and help in turning the captivity of people, then we failed. Number four is the response. It says, goeth forth, weepeth, and weepeth. They that sow in tears. I wouldn't ask for a show of hands how many wept many times Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but I'd venture to say many did. If you did drive into northern Ann Arbor and in that area, that wooded area all around there, and maybe you were there on Thursday evening, I would have to think that there was a point where you would weep. I know Brother Hollins and I talked a couple times, and his voice cracked, as did mine, because the awesomeness, the bigness, the impossibleness of it all. Could I remind you, and again, that's not saying God can't do it, it's just realizing how we can't do it. And you know, really, that's what stopped you from going soul winning, was because you felt like you couldn't do it. I want to submit something to every one of us here. We never could do it. It's never been up to us. We're just supposed to go. It's always up to Him. We never could do it. Do you understand? You say, well, I won this person. No, you didn't. He did. All you did was give the gospel out. All you did was sow the seed. He turned their captivity. And only He can. We're not offering a social program. You know, bless God, if you'll pray this prayer, we'll take you through some more steps into changing your life. That isn't what happens, and we know that. God changes their life, just like God changed my life. He turned my captivity. He turned your captivity. But see, the tears, the weeping, it's the result of remembering what it is to be in captivity. It's remembering what it was when I was lost. The tears. Some go forth and there's no burden. Well, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. If I were you, and if you do it that way, I would pray for that burden. Because it does make a difference. It really does make a difference. Some go forth and they're haughty and they have maybe a pious attitude. And, you know, that they're better than all those out there. Again, that would be something to get right with God about. Often, that's how we feel about those who are backslidden. Oh, look, what's their problem? I don't understand. When we ought to have tears. You know, there's folks that used to sit in these pews that are going nowhere to church. And that ought to break our hearts. Sow in tears. That's what it's talking about. That's compassion. It's compassion. Well, I know. We'll see slides up here on the screen. We'll see little children in Thailand. We'll see little children in Peru. We'll see pictures of people that have no food and they have no they live in shacks and we'll feel. But understand this, folks. There's people like that all around here. You say, boy, my heart really goes out to them. And it should, and that's wonderful. But does your heart go out to anyone who's hurting? Because there's people right here in our congregation that are hurting. There's people right here in the congregation who are in captivity to something. But here's a lost person who's on their way to hell. Doesn't that cause you to shed a tear? You say, I just need somebody to fire me up. No, you just need to get on your knees, read the Word of God, pray and ask God for a burden. Like you had Wednesday night, Thursday night. The response, tears. Number five is the requirement, and it's very, very simple. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing. We have something. It's a requirement that we have to take with us. What is that? Precious seed. Because that's how captivity is turned. Precious seed. You know, we got all excited about our King James Bibles, and there's folks, you're ready to fight people about that King James Bible. But I ask you a question, other than reading it yourself, when have you ever used it for someone else? Precious seed. God's Word, it's perfect, it's infallible. It's man's need, it is the only answer for man. It is the only answer for turning captivity. Somebody called me recently and said, I understand you have a program for addictions, and I saw it on your sign out there. In fact, we drove out to look at the sign just to see the time and maybe see some more information. And said, you know, we're very interested. So-and-so has a problem like this. And said, now what program do you use? I said, we use the Bible. We believe the Bible is the answer to all problems. We believe no matter what the addiction, no matter what the problem, no matter what the captivity the person has, the Bible is the answer. It is here. It is precious seed. It is seed that gives an end result of fruit. And you have to have that seed for there to be fruit. Bearing, again, we're going forth. We have to take it out. Amen. You know, farmers don't bring the field to the seed. They take the seed to the field. I'm reminded of Haggai 2:19, is the seed yet in the barn? You know, for a lot of folks, it's been a lot of years you've kept the seed in the barn. It needs to get out, scattered, because this seed will yield. God says it will not return void. You just get it out. Those tracts, you just give them out. Everywhere you go, give them out. Oh, people are tired. They've got a collection of our tracts. They're wallpapering their room with our tract. Just keep giving them out. Keep giving the gospel. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep praising his name. Keep telling them they can be free. Keep telling them they can be freed from captivity. Yeah, because it's the seed. That's the key right there. You know, well, I have five illustrations to give. You know, I'm not against your illustrations, but give them the Word of God. That's what people need. You say, all I did was give out a tract. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, they didn't get saved, but I got through the plan of salvation. Amen. Wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, they didn't get saved, but I invited them to church and I made sure they had a track in their hand. Good. Glory to God. Because you got it out. Well, they said that they were saved, but they haven't been in church for years, and amen. You told them. You gave them a little, maybe just a little bright light, just a little bit of light to that they could see their way back. Sometimes that's what people need. because number six, the rejoicing, it's always true. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Doubtless, always rejoicing. God said that, I didn't say that. That's a promise from God. Well, yeah, but they didn't get saved. Yeah, but you gave them the truth. And there should be weeping because they didn't get saved. There should be weeping because they didn't get right. There should be sorrow because of that. But the truth of the matter is you rejoice because, hey, they have more now than they had before I went. Jesus referred to soul winners as fishers of men, and it's a great parallel. You know? You catch a good-sized fish and you rejoice for days. And you talk about it. It's amazing how it grows. It's the only problem with taking a picture. It doesn't grow. Thank you for snickering. But you know, the most excited people are people that have won people to Christ or people that have gone soul winning. Somebody gets saved or they had a part or they brought a visitor and they got saved or whatever it is. You know, God says, doubtless, you just have to go. You have to do it. You have to tell them. You have to give out those tracts. That's the reason I'm convinced why so many Christians, life, you know, it's just... And the best we've got is what little gossip we can hear throughout the week. You wouldn't have to have gossip if you'd go tell somebody about Jesus. It'd keep you fired up. You wouldn't even have time to listen to the junk. You know, I'll tell you what, if you had guaranteed fishing, you'd go to that fishing hole, wouldn't you? If you had guaranteed hunting, you'd go to that woods. This is guaranteed by God. He said, doubtless come again with rejoicing. Doubtless, something's going to happen. You meet people, you find out people have needs. You have the answer. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, you have the answer. One of our, I think it was Gabby, she and another girl, they ran into some guy that said he was an atheist, I guess. I'm thinking it was an atheist. And he wanted to argue with them and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And they did a good job. She went through pretty much the whole thing and told me the whole thing. And I was excited about that because you don't know what that's going to do to that fellow. You don't know. You have no idea how God can use it. Look, you give somebody the Word of God. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why don't we believe that? Why do we walk away from an encounter where we gave somebody the Word of God? Why do we walk away and say, oh, well, nothing happened? Why don't we rejoice? Because now... they have the Word of God. It does the work anyway. You didn't think you argued somebody into getting saved, did you? You didn't think that you illustrated somebody into getting saved, did you?
Yes, it was my deep illustration. No.
You didn't think you preached somebody into getting saved, did you? No. No, He does it. You know, when I stood... in that third pew at Grace Baptist Church in Bluffton, Indiana, and I was under so much conviction, I don't remember anything the preacher said. I don't remember the message. You know, I remember it was something about the second coming of Christ the night that I got saved, but there were many, many messages. You know what I remember more than anything? I remember the Holy Spirit of God telling me I needed to get saved. I remember the conviction that the Holy Spirit of God put on me. Listen, when you talk to somebody about the Lord, whether it's a lost person, whether it's a backslider, whatever, doesn't matter who it is, when you talk to them about the Lord, you have the power of God on your side. And you let God do the work. They laughed at me. They mocked me. I laughed at many. You laughed at many before you got saved too. No excuse. The rejoicing, it will take place. And then the last thing, number seven, is the reward. And it says here, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The reward. The sheaves. That's so exciting to think about, you know? Bringing his sheaves. His reward. Those who got saved. Those who got right. Those whose lives have been turned. They've been turned from their captivity. And imagine what it's going to be like in heaven when all those trophies, all those rewards, all those people that you had a part in their life, when they come running to you and thanking you for all eternity. You're not worried about getting anywhere. You can just enjoy them telling you thank you. You can just enjoy them saying, I'm so glad that you worked at that fair tent. I'm so glad you knocked on my door that day. I'm so glad you gave me that track at the restaurant. I'm so glad you gave me that little pamphlet when you came into our store. I'm so glad you had a smile on your face and you invited me to church and I came and my life was turned around because of that day. Oh my. I don't know of anything greater than having a part in rescuing a human soul. Wasn't that fun Friday? Wasn't that fun when you found out? Wasn't that something? You prayed at 2 o'clock in the morning. You thought, I wonder where he is. You thought, I wonder what he's going through. It started to rain Thursday night. You thought, how can he survive out there? You thought, why can't we do something? Why can't we do more? I'm just saying to you this. The rejoicing, the joy, the thrill, watching him walk into church this morning and seeing him. Try to multiply that times thousands and thousands and thousands. People who literally you had a part in turning their captivity. Captives who are set free. We went fishing in New York and caught those big fish, and the captain or whoever, the boat charter guy, he says, you know, those are trophy fish. And I'm looking at the fish and I'm thinking, yeah, they're pretty good size, but I mean I don't know anything about bass or whatever they were. But he said, you know, if I caught that, I would have it mounted. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, in fact, both of our two fish were the two biggest that day. And we didn't even realize it. We just knew it was fun. And it was exciting. So they said, you ought to get those mounted. And I said, really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll do that. And I said, well, how much does it cost? And they said, and I kind of laughed and said, no. But mainly, we wouldn't have mounted because we both laughed. We said, we aren't fish on the wall people. We're not deer head on the wall people. We don't want people looking at us. Things, animals, we like those things on the outside. They can look in, but not inside looking at us. I'm not against it. I just don't. We're not that kind of people. And I told him, I said, we're not fish on the wall kind of people. We're fish on the plate kind of people. But there is something about mounting and having those rewards from your labor, going hunting, going fishing. But it's nowhere near, not even close, to the reward of a soul's life being changed. And folks, that's the basics, really, of the church. It's the basics. It's why we have the missions conference. All the missionaries, it's an extension, because I can't go to Africa. I can't go to Russia. I can't go to South America. You can't do that. You've got your job. You're here. You've got your ministries here. And so we can't do those things. But praise God, we're glad that you are. But how sad for us to send them and we let our area go to hell. How sad that we would be so involved and so excited about rescuing one of our own, but we're not willing to rescue those around us. They need rescue. Turning captivity. That's what God does. Thank God he uses us. He'll use you. He'll use you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many tonight?